This is the 415ers podcast coming at you three times a week on the Odyssey Sports Podcast Network with 95.7 The Game. Please feel free to download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate all ratings, five stars especially. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandy with you. And, you know, Mark, it is funny. Like, we were kind of talking about, you know, the large comeback by the Vikings. And I think Saturday had, outside of the Browns, Ravens, probably the best, you know, 2-3 game slate of a certain slot, especially compared to some of the 10 a.m. games from Sunday. But the game that, of course, made you forget really just about every ridiculous finish that there's been this season kind of seems to revolve recently around the Las Vegas Raiders. And boy, did it ever yesterday, because I don't know if you got to catch the entirety of that game. I tapped in about at halftime after the Raiders went up 17-3 and then blew the lead, got the lead or tied the lead. And then the last play of the game might be the most ridiculous thing I have seen in recent memory, with the Patriots. Essentially, all they had to do is run out the clock. I think it was Ramondre Stevenson just, you know, took a run up the middle and then starts to lateral it. And you're wondering, all right, when's he going to fall down? When is this thing going to go to overtime? And then Jacoby Myers turns around and fires a rocket into what was once the backfield. And Chandler Jones is sitting there with, I mean, essentially an interception, fumble, whatever you want to call it, plucks it up with two hands, turns around, puts Mac Jones through the bottom of the turf at Allegiant Stadium, and then runs all the way for a touchdown to win the game in the final seconds. Like, I know the Raiders have been on a lot of opposite ends of the stick this season, but that might be the most ridiculous Raiders finish I have seen in recent memory, as well as the worst Bill Belichick-led team finish I have ever seen, probably in my entire life.
Well, it was a few years ago when they were in Miami, and Miami had that lateral play that went for the touchdown. I think it was Kenyon Drake, the walk-off in the final second. And that, I don't think that was a tie game. I think the Dolphins were behind, and that touchdown not only, you know, got them even, but it put them on top, and they won as they walked off. And then this one, yeah, I mean, incredible. Jacoby Myers, what are you doing? You mentioned Ramondre Stevenson. It was a run. I mean, based on that play call, Bill Belichick is telling you, we're playing for overtime. We're not taking a risk. We're not trying to throw a Hail Mary and maybe some madness happens with an interception and a return. We're just get to overtime, you know, and we'll try to win it in overtime and get out of here with a win and improve to 8-6. But no, Jacoby Myers, and he copped to it in the locker room after the game. He handled it really well. Just said, I was trying to do too much, trying to be a hero. And
you don't say.
A terrible, terrible mistake. Cost the Patriots a win. He could ultimately cost them a playoff spot. I mean, they're now 7-7. They're out of the playoff picture as it stands right now. And the Raiders, their playoff only alive, not a great chance at 6-8, but yes, an incredible ending to a game. And there were so many crazy endings in week 15. That game could have been headed for overtime. It should have been headed for overtime. There were other overtime games, the Colts Vikings game that we talked about. The Chiefs and Texans somehow went to overtime as well, with the Chiefs coming out on top. It was a wild weekend of football. And then Cowboys-Jaguars also overtime, as we talked about earlier. But no ending more incredible than Raiders-Patriots. I could not believe what I saw.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, Detroit and New York's game probably could have gone to overtime. I know the Titans and the Chargers probably could have gone to overtime. I mean, there were some crazy games, and it also makes me look at some of the ugly losses. And this is actually one thing I do think that the 49ers maybe don't get as much credit for, just because of their style of play and just how hot they've been recently. But the 49ers don't, like, last half of the season, don't really have any clunkers. Like, I know that their season didn't begin well, and they're could be made excuses for that when it comes to the quarterback position or the rotating cast of quarterbacks at the beginning of the season, some of the injuries that the 49ers faced. And every team is going to go through injuries. But I would say, Mark, after the Falcons loss, like, I don't even know if there's a game where you could really come down the Niners' road. Maybe New Orleans wasn't a great performance, but of course they still won in shutout fashion. But I'm looking at Tampa Bay, who somehow inexplicably is still in first place in the NFC South. Like, they get rolled on by the Bengals after going up early. That was a loss at home where they just got thrashed. I guess we're not even talking about the Cardinals anymore, but a loss to the Broncos just feels like a terrible, terrible loss. The Chiefs nearly lost to who I would proclaim to be the best one-win team I've ever seen in the NFL, in the Houston Texans. And then, like, not even the Eagles looked supremely dominant, even though I felt like the entire time they were going to win that game. Miami and Buffalo, I was starting to have second thoughts about the Dolphins. Like, the 49ers at this point, I think, to me, if you were going to look at where they stack up in the NFC or even around the rest of football, if you're telling me that they're a top three team, maybe even a top two team, to me, it comes down to, like, they don't really have any, sure, holes in their roster, but holes in their resume, especially the last, I would say, 7 to 8 games, where you're looking at them, and as far as teams that are peaking, that are playing their best, they're probably right at the top.
Yeah, and well, I mean, a 7-game win streak certainly helps with that, and, you know, the closest game in those 7 games was a 6-point win against the Chargers. So you've won by a touchdown or more just about every single time. The defense has been incredible, and the offense, especially lately, has been pretty good as well. I think you can kind of split the Niners' season into two different parts, and it's basically, you know, right around week 7, which was when they acquired Christian McCaffrey. You know, first 6 weeks, they're 3-3. They acquire Christian McCaffrey. He has a short week to get ready for Kansas City, plays, but, you know, doesn't get his normal touches. They lose. They're 3-4. Then with, you know, kind of full Christian McCaffrey, they go to Los Angeles. They dominate the Rams. He has the trifecta performance with a passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown. A bye week. And now the Niners have won 6 straight games after that bye week. And again, all by 6 points or more. So that first half of the season, it's pre and post McCaffrey. And to your point, post McCaffrey, Evan, the Niners have been as consistent as anyone in the NFL, probably more consistent. I mean, they are the hottest team in football right now, winners of 7 straight. On both sides of the ball, defensively, we know about how special they are. Offensively, they've put up 30 or more points 3 of their last 5 games. They pushed 40 once on that Monday game in Mexico City against Arizona. This is a team that is clicking on all cylinders right now. And I agree with you. If you look over the last 2 months, there has not been a better team in the NFL. You look at the win streak, and that might be obvious to you, but there are other teams, like the Eagles only have 1 loss to this point, you know, over that same stretch. They have 1 loss this season, and it happened in the last month, 2 months. But you look at their game yesterday, as you mentioned, against Chicago. Didn't really feel like they were in danger, but they were a bad break, a bounce of the ball away from losing that game. After their loss to the Commanders, about a month ago now, they followed that up and should have lost to the Colts in Indianapolis. They kind of escaped out of that one with the win. They should have lost that one. So they had some clunkers. Not all of them have cost them wins, but they've had some bad performances. But the Niners, meanwhile, are just steadily, you know, churning out wins, churning out points, and holding the opponents to less than 17 points every single week out. So I'm with you, Evan. The Niners, during this win streak, during the last 8 weeks in the post-McCaffrey era, or I guess the McCaffrey era, but the post-McCaffrey acquisition era, they're, to me, by far the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, I do think you can make a case that there are some teams perhaps starting to get hot and peaking at the right time. I know the Niners have the longest win streak currently, but when you look at teams that have strung together 5 or more, you're looking obviously at Philadelphia, who I think will probably be peaking in the next week or two as they begin to get some of their guys back off IR and get even healthier than they already were. Buffalo, who, look, I mean, that game in the snow on Saturday against Miami was an incredibly fun game, but I think showed both where Buffalo has a few holes, as well as also I think their defense is beginning to sort of step up. But the only other team, honestly, Mark, that I could say has a case in this conversation would be the Cincinnati Bengals.
They're playing
and
great.
This is kind of what they did a little bit last year, even more so. In a lot of ways, they've kind of followed a 49ers script each of the past two seasons where they've started off slow. I think this year they were 4-4 before they strung together these last six wins. But last year, Joe Burrow and his extremely talented wide receiving core and offense has always sort of been there. They've been, I would say, like the 49ers defense. They've been the consistent part of this team, although Burrow has had some ups and downs this year. But then when that defense starts to come along, just like the 49ers offense, as we talked about when they acquired McCaffrey, has started to come along, you see the two sides of the football, you know, moving in cohesion a lot more, I think, than the beginning of the season. So although Cincinnati probably didn't deal with as many injuries outside of, I would say, to Ja'Marr Chase, they're the only other team, Mark, that I can think of right now. And of course, you're luckily because they don't play in the same conference as you. But when it comes to teams that are peaking, I'm looking at the AFC as teams that are starting to find their stride. Meanwhile, in the NFC, it seems like there's a lot of teams that are kind of just limping to the finish line. I mean, even Minnesota, like you're right, like they won this weekend, but barely, probably should have lost. And then even the rock fight that's been going on in the NFC East, it's like Cowboys lose on a walk-off pick six. Philly wins by a score. Chicago, New York, and Washington feels like they're slugging it out between each other for those last couple of playoff spots. And San Francisco will get Washington next weekend. But right now, if you're looking around the NFC, like this is where I do think that fans should begin to become hopeful. And I want to ask you a question in a second, but I'm curious where you're at when it comes to the 49ers and the NFC picture, because I think the only thing withstanding for me from putting the Niners as the number one team in the NFC is just the Eagles' record and the fact that they've done it all year. But what I've seen from them, even across this five-game winning streak, has not necessarily been a team of, you know, like if they end up going 16-1, which is very likely or reasonable, even then, I don't know if I would feel like the Eagles should be, you know, more than a field goal favorite in a game at home against San Francisco.
Yeah, I think the NFC is really interesting because you have kind of the two teams that everyone kind of widely believes are the two best teams in the conference, in Philadelphia and San Francisco. As it stands right now, they're not 1-2 in the standings. We've talked a lot about Minnesota right now. They are currently number two, and a lot of people don't even think Minnesota is the third best team of the conference. You have Dallas, who is not going to win their division because the Philadelphia Eagles have just one loss. They're all the way down in the five spot because, again, they will not be a division winner. And that sets up interesting second-round matchups because let's assume for a second that Dallas beats Tampa Bay. And I guess first of all, we're assuming that Tampa Bay wins the NFC South, which is far from a sure thing right now because you have Tampa at 6-8, and then everyone else, Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta at 5-9. So there's still a lot that can happen over the final 3 weeks. But let's just assume Dallas beats whoever comes out of the NFC South. They're gonna have to do it on the road, Dallas is, because they will not have won their division. Say the Niners beat the Giants and Minnesota beats Washington. That means Dallas would be heading to Philadelphia and San Francisco heads to Minnesota. The Niners, I am pretty positive, would be favored on the road in Minnesota over the Vikings if that were the case. And then it might be a pick'em for the 49ers in Philadelphia if those results hold. So you have a situation where you know, you're going to have a couple of home teams probably losing or being underdogs in the NFC playoffs, which, you know, considering the fact that there's generally one weaker division, that sometimes happens. But for the two seed to be an underdog in their second playoff game isn't all that common. I think it just speaks to one, how obviously quality the Niners are, but two, how much people failed to believe in the Minnesota Vikings and how generally uninspiring they have been. Maybe that changes again after their incredible win against the Colts. I'm with you. I think the Niners are, to this point, far and away. There's the Eagles, maybe a little bit of a break until the 49ers, and then a pretty big break off before you get to the Cowboys or the Vikings, whichever team you prefer. I think there's a clear top two, a bit of room, and then everyone else. And the Cowboys recently, they haven't been playing that well. They should have lost to the Texans last week. They lost to the Jaguars this week. I think they still scare me more than Minnesota because of their defense, Evan. But no, I think at this point, if you're the 49ers and you fail to get to the NFC Championship game, even if that means winning on the road in Minnesota, you're going to be very upset at yourself.